Morning. Welcome to Open Arms Church. Those of you that are here, those of you that are watching virtually, it is 2021. We have made it. We have turned the page. That being said, let us be careful with what we say in 2021. If we say it can't get any worse, let's be careful. We are not promised that. As we turn to this new year, let us be careful not to say, well, as long as we stay healthy, we'll be okay. We've already experienced loss in our midst. Some of you may know Kathy Gerdak. She was a member of Open Arms for a long time. She hasn't been here in a while, but she just passed away yesterday. So we mourn with her husband, Damien, and the rest of their family. Let's be sure this year together to fix our eyes on Jesus, to encourage one another, to walk together. We need that intentionality in 2021 just as much as we did in 2020. That being said, glad that you're here. You hopefully have picked up a program, or maybe you brought that with you. It's on your phone. There's a few things coming up that we'd like to talk about, things to look forward to, things to anticipate. One of those is in a week and a half from now, we will be having an institute class that is entitled, What Does the Bible Say? And as you can see from the description, it's going to be the two or three of us as pastors talking about a variety of things, everything from the role of government and politics to sexuality, to gender issues, to race issues. We're going to be trying to tackle those as best we can from God's Word, not our opinion, not our perspective, but from God's Word, having that class every other week, starting in a week and a half. That will be here in this room. It'll also be live streamed, so we look forward to having as many of you participate in that as possible. You'll also notice that in 2 weeks from today, on January 17th, I got to get used to saying January, that feels odd. January 17th, we will be having our next Discovering Open Arms 101 workshop luncheon. That is for those of you that are newer to Open Arms, and maybe you're wondering who we are, what we're about, and as much as you might like to get to know us, we would really like to get to know you. That's a first step in that process of getting more connected with us and helping us to allow you to get connected with others as well. So be a part of that. You can sign up for that in the foyer so that we have enough lunch provided for you. Well, last year, we at the 11 o'clock service, we had a baptism of Brittany Jobin, and we want to play for you this morning the video of her baptism from last week so that you can hear her testimony and know a little bit more about who she is. We'll play that now.
My name is Brittany Jobin, in case you haven't heard me. I'm 23 years old, and I'm learning how to live life on my own since I had just left the nest. I enjoy being active and being outdoors as much as I can. I was born and raised in Amsterdam, New York, and I was brought up in a Christian home while also attending a Christian school for the majority of my life. One summer, when I was either 7 or 8, I was attending Vacation Bible School. I remember one day my mom asked if I was learning anything good in Vacation Bible School. She asked if I believed if Jesus died on the cross for my sins so I can be in heaven one day. She proceeded to ask if I wanted to accept him as my Savior. I said I did to both, and she prayed with me. That day, I asked Jesus to forgive me for all my sins and to come into my heart. I was really happy to join my family in being a Christian and knowing that I can be in heaven when I die. Not too long after that, when I was 9, my mom passed away from breast cancer. Life definitely got harder after that, as my 2 older sisters and I had to grow up fast and look out for each other. My faith in God remained strong as a kid and through my teenage years. It was what got me through the pain and loneliness. Once I graduated high school, my whole outlook on life changed. I started seeing Christianity as nothing but rules that seemed too harsh and brought no reward for following them. Church became a chore to me, and I looked for ways out of this life I've been living, forgetting what God's done for me. I became bitter towards God for taking my mom from me way too young, and became bitter towards anyone who tried to keep me from living the life I wanted to. I wanted to taste the fun everyone else was having, and that became my priority. After being this way for 3 to 4 years, God tugged at my heart. It was the summer of 2019 when all of a sudden I lost all my peace of mind. Every ungodly thing I've done started crashing down on me with so much guilt. I knew I needed change because the guilt and shame caused anxiety in my heart that took over my life. For about 6 months, I tried living with one foot in the pleasures of this world and one foot in my faith until I had a mental breakdown. I ended my long-term relationship with a man I planned on marrying who was not a Christian, and I decided I actually wanted to give my whole life over to Jesus. Since then, I can't go a day without God being involved in everything I do. I have joy knowing I don't have to go through the daily struggles of life alone. Being alone in my grief brought on a lot of depression, and being constantly reminded of my sin brought on a lot of shame. Now when those feelings sneak up on me, I remember God's unending love for me, proved by Jesus dying for my sin. The condemning guilt was put on him. I don't carry it anymore, for I am a new creation because of him. Knowing that I am saved by grace through faith alone makes me want to embrace God's will for my life even more. Thank you for listening.
Brittany, we've heard the story that you shared of God's pursuit of you. Have you trusted in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Based on that testimony of faith, I now baptize you, my sister in Christ, Brittany Jobin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your pursuit of us. We thank you, Lord, for Brittany, for the opportunity that she had last week to testify of you and to step forward in obedience to you, to follow you. Lord, following you is something that we need your help to do, to run this race well, to fix our eyes on Jesus. Lord, we desperately need your help. As we begin this new year, Lord, please strengthen us, empower us, guide us, equip us, correct us, challenge us. Lord, help us to see you, to listen to you, to respond to you. And as we do so, thank you, God, for giving us one another, that we may run this race together, that we may walk with one another, encourage one another. Lord, as we sing to you now in response to your goodness, as we listen to your word, God, we ask, we invite you to teach us, to show us what you would have for us, Lord, that we may respond to you, that we may live for you, and to live in a way that the world may see, Lord, the difference that comes from following you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're able, we'd ask you to stand and worship with us, please.
Who rises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength who rises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord our God.
Upon the Lord, we will wait upon
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. You've done for me.
Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. We thank you for bringing us here and allowing us to worship you this morning. And we ask that you would add your blessing to the pastor's words this morning and open our hearts, open our ears, and open our minds to hear your word and to allow them to soak into us and bring a change in this new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Why don't you have a seat? Well, Happy New Year. It's the third day of January, the first Sunday of the year, and we're in Hebrews chapter 13. So Hebrews chapter 13, it's the first week of 2021, but the last chapter of Hebrews that we're in. We've been walking through Hebrews. The theme has been each week, the whole book, the theme is Jesus is better. Jesus is better than anything else we could seek or follow or desire. Jesus is better. So persevere. Keep going. We've needed that in 2020. We're going to need that for 2021. The end of Hebrews ends with a very specific list of commands, of specific ways to persevere as we follow Jesus. Again, it's timely because as we start the new year, as we think about goals, as we think about reprioritizing, there's some really helpful things for us in Hebrews chapter 13. We started it last week. We're going to finish it this week. So Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to start with verse 7. We're going to read through verse 17. What I want you to watch for is the commands, the direct instructions that the Hebrews are told, are given, and that we're given this morning in 2021. So watch for those. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Let me read and you follow along silently. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin, they're burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify his people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach that he endured. For here, we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, through Jesus, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So there's five priorities that we're going to look at in this passage. We took five last week from the beginning of chapter 13. There's five more today that we're going to look at. Priorities, not just for 2021, for any year, but that's where we're sitting. We're sitting in a place where we're starting the year, so it's timely for us. Five priorities for us for 2021 as we follow Jesus. Here's the first one. Imitate your leaders who trusted in Jesus. That's the first priority. Imitate your leaders who trusted in Jesus. Did you see that in verse 7? The author writes, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So imitate your leaders. But what kind of leaders? What are some of the details that the author puts in here. How does he describe their leaders? Well, at the beginning of the verse, he talks about their leaders spoke God's word to them. That's really important for Christian leaders to speak God's word, not just their word, not just their ideas, not just what they think is good, but those who speak and point you to God's word. The second thing he says, they're those that you can consider their way of life, the outcome of their manner of life. Did those leaders persevere? Did those leaders look like Jesus? Did their lives look like, not perfectly, but did their lives resemble the word that they shared? Those are the kind of leaders you need to imitate. And the last thing he says in verse 7 is you need to imitate their faith. It's so important. Did you see that? You need to imitate their faith. See, the idea is don't just copy the words that they say. Don't just look to imitate the external actions, but go to the heart of what produced all of that, a faith in Jesus. Now, verse 8 unpacks that a little bit more. It kind of is a little bit more specific. Verse 8 gives us the reason we're to imitate their faith, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what that means is you look back on your life, if there were Christian leaders that spoke the word of God, that their lives looked like Jesus, and they had trust in Jesus, then you can imitate them. You should imitate them. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday for them as he is today for you. See, if Jesus was faithful to them, if Jesus kept his promises to them, if Jesus used them, then you can trust Jesus because he's the same. He's going to be faithful to you. He's going to keep his promises to you. He can use you. And as you look at their life, you can see what it looks like to trust in Jesus. Because the same Jesus they trusted in is trustworthy, and he's trustworthy today, just like he was when they trusted him. Now, sometimes when we read the Bible and we hear the phrase trust Jesus, and there's a lot in the Bible about trusting Jesus, sometimes it can be hard because we say, well, what does that look like in my life? Like, what does that look like tomorrow on Monday when I get up and I go to work? What does it look like to trust in Jesus? Now, one of the things that we have that helps us is that the Bible is about 70% stories. It's made up of 70% of it. It talks about real people that made real mistakes and either trusted or didn't trust. And so we have a lot of examples. That was what Hebrews 11 was about. Just a huge list of people that trusted the Lord. But one of the struggles we can have is that was a long time ago. So what does it look like to trust Jesus in 2021? Like, what does trust look like in a person's life in 2021? And what verse 7 and 8 is telling us is one of the helps God has given us is Christian leaders that we can look at and say, oh, that's what trusting Jesus looks like. I can see in their life Jesus's faithfulness to them and how they trust in Jesus. One of the things I'd encourage you to do is maybe even on this outline, maybe later today, maybe later this morning, I'd encourage you to sit down and write a list. If there have been Christian leaders who have made an impact on you, who have taught you the word of God, who have looked like Jesus, who have trusted in Jesus, just make a list of those. Because that's what it says, remember them. Consider the outcome of their life. Do that. Write a list. I tell you, I did that this week, and it was encouraging because the list was fairly long. And I thought, wow, the Lord has used a lot of people in my life. One of the first people on my list is my dad. My dad was what they call a bivocational pastor, meaning he had two jobs. He was a pastor of a small country church, but he also drove school bus for 16 years, and then moved on to some other things to help support the family. And my dad was the first person who spoke the word of God to me in our home, but also on Sundays. When I would go, I would listen to my dad teach the Bible as he taught other people. I was in pretty close proximity to my dad for several years. like many of you. And what I saw in my dad was not perfection, but what I saw in my dad was a manner of life that reflected Jesus. And he trusted Jesus, and he still is. He's still alive, and he's still trusting Jesus. He's persevering. And I'm thankful for that life, that model, that leader that I can imitate. There's a couple other pastors that were on that list. One was a pastor I had in college. Another was a pastor I had when I first moved out to New York in an inner city church. Pastors that would talk about God as if they really knew God. And that drew me in. Pastors who had a passionate and radical trust to the point of sometimes thinking, that's crazy what they're trying to do for Jesus. But they trusted in Jesus, and that spurred me on. I'm thankful for those examples. I had several examples as I was going to school, as I was going to seminary, professors that taught me the word of God, but I learned it not just by listening to their lips, but by watching their life. Thankful for those examples that I can imitate that have shaped me. But there's two more people that were on my list. One is Pastor John, and the other is Pastor Josh. One of the blessings of being a pastor at Open Arms is that I also have pastors. One of the blessings of teaching the Bible here is that I'm also taught the Bible by Pastor John, Pastor Josh. In walking with them, co-laboring them with them, I see Jesus. I see the manner of their life, the outcome of the manner of their life, and I see Jesus in their life. I see their trust in Jesus. And it's a blessing to be able to have their life that sharpens mine, to be able to imitate them. I'll tell you, in Pastor John and Pastor Josh, there's two people on your list, at least, that you can say, those are leaders that I can imitate. Not just their actions, their words, but specifically their faith in Jesus. Because Jesus is trustworthy. Here's the second priority. Don't be led away from the grace of Jesus. This is so important for 2021 for our hearts. Don't be led away from the grace of Jesus. Look at verse 9. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods. Don't be led away from diverse and strange teachings. Led away from what? Well, led away from the truth. And it really, verse 9 comes on the heels of verse 8. We just got finished talking about Jesus and how he doesn't change. So be careful that you're not led away from teachings that center and are very specifically focused on Jesus, on the grace of Jesus. Now, what is grace? Grace literally means undeserved help. We all need help. Even if you don't think you need help, you need help. We all need help. The problem is we don't deserve the help that we need. And that's called grace. That because of what Jesus has done for us, there is this amazing grace that helps us, that strengthens our heart. But the problem is there's a lot of teachings out there. That's what diverse and strange mean. It means there's a lot of different kinds of teachings out there that are different. They're strange, meaning they're unique. They're different from a focus on Jesus. All you have to do is search YouTube for a little bit or look up a Bible question on the internet. And you'll find some good answers, but you'll find a whole lot of other, a lot of diverse and various strange answers that won't focus you on Jesus, but it'll focus you on something else, like, for instance, food. It seems like there was an issue here with the Hebrew Christians. There was some teachings floating around that if you just eat this certain food, or if you just don't eat certain foods, then that will strengthen you. And not just strengthen you, like, physically. I'm not just talking about a diet that'll help you feel better, but the focus here is it'll strengthen you spiritually. That what you put in your mouth or what you don't put in your mouth will help you spiritually. It'll make you strong spiritually or not strong spiritually. The problem is that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus and the grace that we receive through Jesus. And that's the warning here. Be careful. Something might sound very good. There might be even Bible verses used, but they're used in a way not to focus on what Jesus has done for us, but they're used in a way to focus on what you need to do so that you can be strong, so that you can be right with God. So it might not be food for us. It might be some other things like the way that we need to dress or certain days that we need to worship, or it could be a whole bunch of other things. But the focus is we need to be real careful about teachings that will lead us away from focusing on Jesus in 2021. Now, there's a bunch in these verses that is talked about. I want to look at verse 12. How does Jesus help us? Well, verse 10 and 11 lead up to verse 12, but verse 12 says, Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. So Jesus suffered. He died on the cross. It's the core message of the Bible, of Christianity, that he died on the cross so that he could sanctify people through his blood. Now, what does that mean? See, blood, through all of the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, and we've talked about this a lot in Hebrews, those animal sacrifices were a picture of a substitute, an innocent substitute that dies so that the one offering it could be forgiven, could be cleansed, could be sanctified. The idea is purified, made right. Those animal sacrifices were a picture of what Jesus would do, that he would spill his blood. And the blood is not magic, like if it touches you, it makes you better. The blood is representative, that Jesus is a representation that Jesus died. The punishment for sin is death, and Jesus said, I will die for you so that you can be purified. And because he did that, it says that he did it to sanctify his people. He did that to sanctify believers, to purify their hearts, to provide forgiveness. Now, there is a big difference. We look at these verses. There's a big difference between you eating certain kind of foods to be pure and Jesus dying for your sins so that you can be pure. Do you see the big gap there? One is what you can do to make yourself right and make yourself holy and to sanctify yourself. One is what Jesus has done to make you pure, to provide forgiveness, and to make you holy. See, we have to be real careful not to be drawn into thought processes, teachings, or Monday mornings when we wake up and feel really, really just bad. We have to be really careful not to look to what we can do to make ourselves right with God or to grow or to strengthen our hearts, but to, on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday mornings, look to Jesus in those times that we struggle and say, Jesus, I know that you have spilled your blood so that my heart could be strengthened. I know what you did is enough for me to be purified. I look to you, not to myself, not to food, not what I can do. I look to you, Lord, for strength. We have to be really careful not to be drawn away, led away from the grace of Jesus, even by teachings that sound very, very good. Even, listen, if we from this platform start teaching you things other than Jesus, you need to not be led away from that. I love what Paul said in the Bible. He says, even if we, he's talking about himself, even if we or an angel comes and teaches you a different gospel, teaches you a different way of how your heart can be strengthened, he says, let us be cursed. He's calling a curse down on himself if he changes the message and leads people away from a focus on Jesus. Wherever you hear that message, don't be led away. Stay focused on the grace of Jesus. Here's a third priority. Go to Jesus outside the camp. Go to Jesus outside the camp. What does that mean, go to Jesus outside the camp? Well, I couldn't think of a better way to say it, so I just put down what verse 13 says. Did you see verse 13? Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. Now, therefore, we talk about this a lot, but do you see the word therefore at the beginning of verse 13? Well, that's always supposed to tip you off to look at what comes right before that, because therefore is a connector word. He's saying because of verse 12, and even the verses before that. Therefore, based on that, let's do this, verse 13. So what does verse 12 say? Again, it says that Jesus suffered outside the gate in order to make us pure through his own blood. So Jesus suffered outside the gate. So we need to go to Jesus for forgiveness. Again, go to him for forgiveness. Don't go to food. Don't go to what you can do. Go to Jesus for forgiveness. But there's another key here, because the fact that he suffered outside the gate, outside the city, outside the camp. See, it's a picture, not just of what he did for us, but it's a picture that he was rejected by his own people. That he was rejected by the religious leaders. That's why they executed him outside the city. Because he was considered a criminal. He was considered dirty. And they weren't going to do that inside the city. The sacrifices that they would sacrifice in the temple, they would take those bodies, those bodies that represented the sin of the people, and they burn them outside the gate. So Jesus was executed outside the city. It was a picture of him taking our sin, but it also showed that he had been rejected by the people. He was executed as a criminal, not because he was, but because they rejected him. And there was, in verse 13, it talks about we need to bear the reproach he bore. He bore a reproach. He bore an insult. He bore rejection for us. So when we go to Jesus, we need to also be willing to face rejection and face being insulted for a trust in Jesus. Jesus said that a servant is not above his master. If they don't listen to Jesus, then they won't listen to us. If they rejected Jesus, then some may and will reject us. And what he's encouraging these Hebrew Christians is this: go, be willing to go outside the camp, that particular group maybe that you're a part of, or the tribe or the family you're a part of. Be willing to face that reproach, that insult, that rejection if it comes. Don't back down from that. Now what's happening in these Hebrew Christians' lives is there was pressure. And that's why the message of this book is persevere, don't quit, don't grow weary, keep going, is because there was pressure in their lives. There was persecution. There was pressure to just give up on Jesus and just kind of go back into the camp they had been a part of and fit in. There was a pressure from religious people. The Hebrew people that weren't Hebrew Christians, they were just Hebrews, they were Jews. There was this pressure of, why are you insisting on trusting in Jesus? The religious leaders rejected Jesus. That's why he was killed. Why are you doing that? Stop doing that. Keep sacrificing these animals like we are doing. And so there was, if your mother and your father and your extended family and your whole group that you're a part of believes that and is pressuring you to just give up this this delusion of Jesus, there's a lot of pressure there, and there's an encouragement. Don't be willing to face that. Be willing to bear the reproach that Jesus did, even if it means rejection. There was pressure from non-religious people. Rome was not a fan of Christianity at the time the book of Hebrews was written. Christianity was starting to get on the radar of the Roman government, and there was pressure to give up and just renounce Jesus, or end up eventually down the road in history, they would end up in a Colosseum running from lions. And he says, go to Jesus outside the camp. Be willing to bear the reproach that Jesus bore by being rejected by his own people. Be willing to do that if it comes. Why? What's our motivation for that? Look at verse 14. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Is it worth it to bear the reproach that Jesus bore? Is it worth it to be asked awkward questions and for that very uncomfortable silence sometimes by our family, or by knowing looks one from another as we follow Jesus? Is it worth it to bear that reproach? Well, it's worth it. Why? In verse 14, because there's something that's really, 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 really good that's coming. The crowds, the camps that we're a part of now, they won't last. But there's a city that we seek that's going to be really, really, really good. Paul said it this way in Romans 8. He said, I do not think it's worth, I don't think the present suffering could be insults, rejections, reproach. I do not consider the present suffering worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us. I don't think, Paul says, it's worth comparing this present city that might push us away, whether it's that's a religious camp or a non-religious camp that may look down on us, push us away, ridicule. It's not worth comparing to what's coming, to being with the Jesus that we follow face to face forever. It's not worth comparing. Go to Jesus outside the camp. Here's the fourth priority. Offer sacrifices of praise and good works. Offer sacrifices of praise and good works. That's what it says in verse 15. Through him, through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. And then verse 16, it talks about this sacrifice of doing good and sharing what you have. Through him, through Jesus, then, let us offer sacrifices. Now, again, we've mentioned this as we've walked through Hebrews. You notice this morning we have not offered a sacrifice yet of a bull or a goat. We don't offer sacrifices like they did in the Old Testament, because Jesus, once and for all, was the sacrifice. He was the end of all blood sacrifices. But that doesn't mean we don't offer sacrifices. We do offer sacrifices. But the sacrifice is our life. It's the words that we speak, and it's the way that we live. We offer a sacrifice not to be right with God, but because we are right with God. We don't offer a sacrifice so we become his people or we become his children. The only way that you can become right with God and a child of God is through Jesus, through the sacrifice. And that's what it means in verse 15. Through Jesus, because of what he's done, then turn and responding to that, not to try to be accepted by God, but to please the one who has given his life for us, we offer our lives as sacrifices. And there's two kinds of sacrifices. This sacrifice of praise to God, fruit of the lips that acknowledge him. And that's what we do on Sundays when we come together. That's what we do. We offer praise to God through music. And even as we sit and we listen, we're offering praise to God. But it says here in verse 15, we're supposed to do that continually. So it can't just be a Sunday morning thing that we do this. It would be good for us to set aside time each day to spend with the Lord, to talk with him, to praise him, to read from his word. But it can't even be just that. Quiet times are good, daily devotions are good, but it's got to be continual. Do you see that in verse 15? Continually. That means when we drive, maybe we're tuning into some worship music or Christian music, or we're just talking to the Lord. That means in our conversations with other Christians that we can talk about a lot of different things, and we should, and we can, but in our conversations, that the fruit of our lips acknowledges Jesus, that we talk about him, that we talk about our struggles and how we're asking the Lord for help, that we talk about what we're learning from his word, that we're talking about Jesus to each other, and not just to other believers, but to even unbelievers, that we're looking for, you know, little cracks and little opportunities to acknowledge Jesus in our conversations. And let me just throw this out to you as well. In 2021, maybe another spot we could offer praise to God with our lips is in the midst of problems, in the midst of struggles. You know, when we're tempted for our lips to say other things, what if in those moments, what if we said, thank you, Lord, you know, even in the midst of this? Well, isn't that what Paul said? In everything, give thanks. He didn't say give thanks for everything. He said in everything, give thanks. Rejoice. Rejoice, not necessarily because of your struggles, but in the midst of your struggles. Maybe if we stubbed our toe, if we slammed our head on a cupboard door or something else. So what if we said, instead of, you know, saying what we want to say, maybe what if we said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And praise him even in the struggles. continually. That would include even the tough times, even the difficulties. The other sacrifice here is doing good, sharing what we have. Don't forget, don't neglect that, to do good and share what you have in 2021. You know what? Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Didn't Jesus do good for us in giving his life? Did he share what he had? In Philippians, it says that he didn't consider equality with God and being with the Father something to be held on to, but he humbled himself and he became a man. He became like us to share his life with us by dying for us, so that we could be brought to him. See, when we do good and when we share what we have, we're just imitating Jesus. And we don't do it so Jesus will do it. Jesus has already done it. We do it because Jesus has done it. Through Jesus and what he's done, we offer a sacrifice of doing good. That we are God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works. That's what he's saved us for, is to turn and to do what he's done for us to do that for other people, to do good and to share what we have. Here's a fifth priority for 2021, and from these verses: yield to leaders who watch over your souls. Yield to leaders who watch over your souls. Look at verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. We'll stop there. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Obey and submit to your leaders. Now, the idea here is, what's really important as we read the Bible is to read it in context. So you remember what we just talked about in verse 7? About these, verse 7 also talks about leaders, church leaders, who are speaking the word of God, who are, in best case scenarios, resembling Jesus, reflecting Jesus, and they're trusting in Jesus. So the call here is to yield to those, to be persuaded to yield to those who are teaching the Bible, trusting in Jesus, and showing what it looks like to live for Jesus. That there's a submission and a yieldedness to those kind of leaders. Now, it says that they're watching over your souls. And I don't know about you, but there's a part in me that maybe that makes us squirm a little bit. It's like watching over it. I don't know if I want it. That kind of sounds like watching over my shoulder. Like, I don't know if I want to be controlled. But see, the picture here is not that. This idea of watching over, that same word is used in the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament, as it talks about watchmen who were placed on a wall of a city as a lookout to see if there was armies coming, bad guys coming, to watch out for the people in the city. The word is used, we just walked through Christmas season, and you may have heard that passage in Luke chapter 2, if you watch the Charlie Brown special, where it says, there were shepherds out in the field watching over their flock by night. It's the same idea here, the same word. So why does a shepherd watch over their flock at night? Why would they do that? I mean, sheep don't sleep a lot, but they sleep some. Why would they have to watch at night? Well, sheep are prey, and predators like to eat prey. And so the shepherds are watching to protect the sheep. That's not all shepherds do. Shepherds of sheep, their main job is to feed them. But not feed them from their own hands, right? Shepherds don't feed the sheep and walk around and give them food from their own hands, but they lead them to green pastures. And then when this pasture's eaten up, they lead them to another one. So the sheep don't feed them from their own hands, but they feed them from what God's already provided in green pastures. That's a picture of a pastor, of a church leader as well. See, it's not feeding from their own hands, but it's feeding, saying it's leading to green pastures so that we can feed on what God has provided. A shepherd watches over the sheep to help them. If they're wounded, if they're sick, if they're wandering. That's why the shepherd watches over. That's why he looks and he watches so he can help. Those are all pictures of what church leaders do, of what Christian leaders are to do, of what pastors are to do. The word pastor literally means shepherd. It's the word that is traditionally used in America for the role of elder. Is a pastor a shepherd? That's what a pastor's to do, is to teach, is to feed. A pastor is to help those who are wounded, those who may be spiritually sick, those who may be wandering, is to help and to protect from those various strange teachings that lead us away from grace, from the grace of Jesus. That's what a leader's role is. And see, the thing about, one of the things about this is that the sheep don't belong to the shepherd. Leaders don't lead people who belong to them. Christian leaders, church leaders lead people who belong to Jesus. And because they belong to Jesus, the shepherds are going to give account to the owner of the sheep. I tell you, there's a trembling that happens even this week reflecting on this. It's like, oh, wow, man, that is a sobering phrase, that a leader leads always needing to keep in mind that they will stand before God and give an account for how they fed, how they led, how they helped, and how they protected the sheep that they're the people, the souls that they're to watch over. It's a sobering verse. The last part of verse 17, let them do this with joy and not with groaning. Let them lead with joy. Let them feed, let them help with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Now, the way that this phrase, that this verse is written, the idea is that the reason we need to submit and yield to leaders, the reason we need to do that is so that the leaders can lead with joy and not with groaning. The picture is, if there's a non-yieldedness, if there's a resistance, if there's a pushing back on the leadership, on the way the leader is leading, then that doesn't help the leader lead with joy. There's this groaning, there's this heaviness, there's this, and that's actually not to the advantage of those who should be yielding. Now we say, well, what does that mean? How do we unpack that? If a shepherd, I've never been a shepherd. I've petted a few sheep in the petting zoos and things, but I don't know a lot about sheep. But I would imagine that if a shepherd is leading a flock of sheep, and sometimes in Bible times, there was up to like 1,000 of these sheep, and there's probably more than one shepherd. But if he's leading sheep, and there's a few sheep in that flock that just will not follow, okay, we're going to go to green pastures over here, and the sheep want to go over this direction, away from the green pastures. If there's sheep that keep just doing wandering away into danger, that's not going to cause joy in the shepherd. There's going to be, again, I got to go after that. I've got to leave these 99 and go after this one. And in doing that, there's two pictures, I think, there. One is there, it's going to be distracting to the shepherd. The shepherd's not going to be able to watch over the flock as well if he's focusing and trying to help those who are wandering and pushing back and resisting. There might be some things that he misses. There might be some other sheep that he's not able to watch over because energy is being used on these sheep that aren't yielding. I think the other picture is there. If there's a sheep in a flock that wanders and keeps going in a different direction, away from green pastures, towards the cliff, it's not just that it makes the shepherd not happy or it robs the shepherd of joy. It's not just that, but that's not good for the sheep. Do you see that? It's not good for the sheep not to go to green pastures. It's not good for the sheep to walk towards the cliff. It's not good for the sheep to go off and isolate themselves by themselves so that a wolf or a lion or a bear can eat them up. That's what he says. It's to no advantage to you. if there's a spirit of resistance towards those who are trying to hold out the word of God and help you. It's not just that it makes the leader lack joy, but it's not good for you to do that. It's one of the things we tried to teach our boys when they were young is there's this idea, we would talk about the circle of safety. You know, the Bible says, honor your father and mother so that it will go well with you. So the idea is if young children don't obey and continue to resist, what they're doing is they're out of bound, they're out of the bounds of safety. They're doing things that, like, they really, really want to play in the road. They really, really want to put their hand on the hot stove. And that sounds like a great idea, but they're outside the circle of safety and it will not go well with them. That's the picture here. That as a whole, a resistance towards those who are watching over their souls, who are holding out the word of God, is not good for us. There's a blessing at Open Arms that there's not just one pastor helping, feeding, watching over, but there's three. And that's a blessing. Again, to be able to shepherd and to watch and to help and to feed and to serve with others. Because there's a whole lot that one guy can miss that three guys, two others can help with. It's a blessing to be able to labor with Pastor John, Pastor Josh. Five priorities for 2021. As we talk about leaders, as we talk about shepherds, it's so good for us to realize that even the church leaders and pastors that we have, we're just under shepherds. You know, we have a chief shepherd, and it's Jesus. And he's a good shepherd. And he laid down his life for us. And he promised that he will not ever leave us. He didn't leave us in 2020, and he won't leave us in 2021. That we can trust him. And we can draw on his strength to keep the priorities that he's given to us. We don't do that on our own strength. We do it in the strength of Jesus, leaning on his grace. Let's pray. Thank you so, so much, Lord, that you are our shepherd. That we have Jesus as our shepherd. And because of that, we shall not be in want. Jesus, thank you for leading us to green pastures, feeding us your word. Thank you for leading us beside still, quiet waters. Thank you for restoring our soul. And maybe this morning, maybe somebody needs to have their soul restored for the first time, turning to Jesus for the forgiveness of not trusting and not loving God like we're made to do. For the first time, trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. But not just for the first time, Lord, may we turn to you all the time for the strength that we need to be strengthened by grace, by the grace of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your promise that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life as we're trusting in Jesus. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Who would stand once again and worship with us.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Forever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, for God so loved the world.
Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, praise him, for the wonders of his love. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, praise him, for the wonder of his love.
He is amazing, Lord.
God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved, God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Thank you for worshiping with us. Have a great week.